This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
Hey, welcome back, Screen Crush. I'm Ryan Airy, and I think the Star Wars show The Acolyte is going to be the most important Star Wars project since The Force Awakens. The trailer has already broken a Lucasfilm Disney Plus record with 50 million views in its first 24 hours. But it also has more dislikes than likes, according to this tweet from Culture Craze. I think that's maybe because there is a certain segment of Star Wars fandom who feel threatened by a show that strays away from the Skywalker saga. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about you. You're great. A little bit later, I'm going to talk about all of that with Star Wars author Adam Lance Garcia and Colton Ogburn, but first, let me tell you why this show is going to be so important. And before we get rolling, I want to remind you guys, we have lots of Star Wars-inspired parody merch at our merch store, screencrushmerch.com, where we design all the merch ourselves. We have this Prequel Apologist, Original Trilogy, They Fly Now, Mandu and Grogu as E.T. and Elliot, and lots more. Shopping our merch store is the best way to directly support our channel. Thank you guys for watching. Let's dive into this. So, this is the first Star Wars live-action show to be set in an entirely new era apart from the Skywalker saga. There is no Luke, no Vader, no Emperor Palpatine. Now, we have seen this era before in games and comics and novels, but let's face it, the real canon events are in live action. Setting a show during the High Republic is a remarkable move for Disney. When Disney bought Lucasfilm, the mandate from the top was that they wanted all original trilogy all the time. They canceled the Clone Wars series and focused on projects with legacy characters that were just steeped in nostalgia. And you know what? That's fine. There are a lot of stories from that era that needed to be told. The excellent Marvel comics filled in the gaps between trilogies. Bad Batch and the Fallen Order games show the rise of the Empire and the plight of the remaining Jedi, while Rebels, Andor, and Rogue One show the earliest days of the Rebellion. The problem is, this nostalgia became the core of the Star Wars franchise. And when you say, hey, we're only making projects based around 3 40-year-old movies, you're boxing yourself in creatively.
Now we're stuck in a box!
Like, I heard a story once about a person who was developing a smuggler Star Wars game that was supposed to be like a whole new story with new characters, but then the game was scrapped when the suits realized that Chewbacca wasn't in it. And the movie Solo was filled with so much nostalgia baiting, it became unbearable.
So what's your name anyway? Chewbacca?
What's nostalgia baiting?
Well, nostalgia baiting is when you use nostalgia to gain fan interest. Which is fine, but then your actual story doesn't really offer anything new. You just retread stories that have already been done. The Force Awakens tried to ride this line by introducing really interesting new characters, but who were all obsessed with the original trilogy.
Luke Skywalker. I thought he was a myth.
Show me, grandfather.
So instead of giving us new characters in a galaxy far, far away, the sequel trilogy just gave us, ourselves, fans of the original trilogy. And then The Last Jedi tried to push Star Wars into something new, and maybe pushed a little too hard for some fans, and then The Rise of Skywalker was just a straight-up remake of Return of the Jedi. These stories relied too heavily on old films and didn't energize creators to expand on this story. Like, it's kind of weird how few comics and novels there are that are based around the events of the sequel trilogy. And I think that's because we've already seen the story of a scrappy resistance fighting an evil space government. That was the original Star Wars trilogy. Heck, my favorite expanded universe from the sequel trilogy was actually the Rise of Resistance ride. Because look, guys, Star Wars and Disney have been afraid to do anything new. And frankly, I think a lot of us Star Wars fans are afraid of something new as well. The prequels were just such a radical departure from the original trilogy that a lot of you guys really overreacted.
George Lucas f***ed our childhood. George Lucas f***ed our childhood.
And this is why we need a show like The Acolyte that is going to push us into a new era.
Hey, do you guys have any movies that'll make you fall asleep and never wake up?
I mean, yeah, we've got The Flash. Why? What's wrong with you?
Well, you know, my wife and I are having a baby.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, okay,
congrats.
But how does that even work?
Well, yeah, you know, we had a few drinks to celebrate and I ended up drinking for two and, well, I feel awful.
Yeah, man, I too have had a lot of rough mornings. Like, we recently had our very first live show, and afterwards, I over-celebrated. But the next day, I felt fine because I took ZBiotic, our partner for this video. ZBiotic is a pre-alcohol probiotic that's actually the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. And guys, ZBiotics really works. I have a regular subscription that brings it to my house every month.
Well, how does that even work?
Well, here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. Now, it is this toxic byproduct and not dehydration that is to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. It is designed to work like your liver, but in your gut where you need it the most. So here's what you do. You take ZBiotics before you start drinking, and of course, drink responsibly and get a good night's sleep. And guys, I'm not kidding about ZBiotics. I really do have an ongoing monthly subscription, and it makes for a great gift. Like when you go to a wedding, just kind of pass these around to your friends and family, and they'll thank you for it the next day. So trust me, Give your friends and family the gift of a better tomorrow with ZBiotics. Go to ZBiotics.com/screencrush or scan the QR code on screen right now to get 15% off your first order when you use the code SCREENCRUSH at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you are unsatisfied for any reason, they're going to refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/screencrush and use the code SCREENCRUSH at checkout to get 15% off. Thanks again, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this video. Now, like I said earlier, we have seen Star Wars in new eras before. There was the Knights of the Old Republic, the Old Republic comics. Hell, there were even novels about Luke's descendants in the distant future. And of course, there are the excellent High Republic novels and comics. The High Republic is a sprawling story about the Jedi at the height of their power, fighting vicious space pirates called the Nihil. Now, not every single High Republic book is great. Don't get me started on Phase 2's obsession with the single planetary war. But the High Republic does introduce bold new concepts to the lore. We find out more about the Jedi, their loves, their connection to the dark side, and the Nihil are a truly new type of villain for Star Wars. This story is exhilarating because it's all new, and yet it still feels like Star Wars. And the Acolyte will be the first big step away from the Skywalker saga. There'll be no C-3PO, no confusing connections to a Disney XD show you never watched. And a little later, I'm going to tell you guys why this show is going to be so make or break for Star Wars, and why it's going to fix the mistakes that shows like Ahsoka keep making. But first, I want to talk about why exactly this show looks so great. So Adam Lance Garcia, you're somebody who I know is excited to see Star Wars be placed in new eras. You're also a Star Wars author, contributor, and Return of the Jedi, a certain point of view. What is it you really loved about this trailer? What's your reaction?
I mean, look, I'm a huge fan of the High Republic. That's evidenced by its inclusion in my very first Star Wars story, which is a fun sentence to say. I love the idea of the High Republic. It's familiar enough that we have like elements like Yoda or even potentially Jabba the Hutt alive during that period of time. But it's different enough that like they allow the galaxy to explore. The thing that I love about Star Wars as a franchise is that you can go in any direction. You can go thousands of years in the past, you can go thousands of years in the future, and then you have millions of planets within the galaxy that you can explore. So you're able to sort of like dig deeper in ways that you really can't with other franchises, with maybe the exception of like Star Trek, which has like hundreds of thousands of years of history forward, but it's always tied to Earth. Like, there's nothing tying it to like real history. You can do anything. And the High Republic allows you to sort of see these new worlds, these new characters that all feel familiar, that we know. It's the Jedi that we knew. And I think that's what's cool about the Acolyte, is that we get to see the Jedi at their height in live action. What we, my generation as fans, were like looking forward to seeing when the prequel trilogy came out. And I think rightly, the prequel trilogy showed us the Jedi sort of at their like nadir. And I think just seeing the Jedi at their height, seeing the Sith like gradually being reborn, it's just, it feels new. That's the thing about the High Republic. Mm-hmm. It always feels new, familiar, but new. And watching this trailer,
that's
like,
Star Wars, baby.
Yeah, that's Star Wars. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, there's a parts in the High Republic, too, where, like, I'm not going to say that everything the High Republic has put out has been great, because there's been a lot of stuff, and I think Phase 2 has been a bit of a mess, and I got really tired of that civil war, the wars between the planets, all that stuff, etc. But there are moments in the High Republic that absolutely gave me goosebumps. Like, there's one moment where there's this Padawan, he's falling through the air, and there's people who are falling through the air because of this crash or whatever, and then he grabs this person, a kid, and the kid, he can feel this kid's fear in the Force. And there's this lovely moment in this book where the Padawan points to the Jedi crest on his cloak, and through the Force, he feels the fear in this kid melt away because he knows he's safe because the Jedi are there.
Yeah,
it's an incredible moment in the first book of the High Republic. And moments like that to me, and also the introduction of concepts like Wayseekers, you know, the Jedi who don't follow the Council, they follow the will of the Force. There's just so many interesting aspects of this that I feel like, as I talked about earlier, the sequel trilogy could have explored, but instead went in for member berries and nostalgia baiting. Colton, what about you? What did you think about this trailer?
Well, as somebody who is not currently caught up on the High Republic stuff, I know, I'm sorry, I want
not
to
not caught up either, by the way.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Just so we're clear.
All of you.
Not to be like simplistic, but the lightsabers, man, I am so excited for the return of like a bunch of lightsabers in a scene together. You know, people love lightsabers and like the epic duels from the prequels, and I think there's this like newfound love for that era of Star Wars that wasn't there like 10 years ago. And Lucasfilm and Disney, you know, they understandably shied away from like even acknowledging the prequels there for a while. But I think now they're like embracing them entirely. So I'm really excited for that. And I know that this isn't the prequel era, but it's the High Republic, and I think it's still very visually prequel, just from what I could tell from the trailer. We're getting to see, like, the Jedi Order and the Republic and, like, a peacetime prior to the Clone Wars. I think it's going to be really fun to see. I'm also glad that they're embracing, like, other parts of Star Wars, like the planet of Octo from The Last Jedi. And, you know, that film was controversial, but I'm glad that they're sticking with it and making it work, hopefully, and in telling good stories. I think something we've learned from Star Wars is that even the stuff we don't like, give it enough time, we'll accept it into the family. And I think that this series is going to give us something that, one, we've never seen, but to go off what Adam said, you know, it feels new yet familiar at the same time. And I'm also wondering, and I wanted to pose this question to you guys, do you think what we're getting with this series is kind of teasing what Star Wars is going to look like in the Rey movies? Like, I have this feeling that, like, with
Rey
rebuilding...
Visually look like, you mean?
Yeah, visually and in terms of, you know, the mentality of the Republic, the Jedi Order, you know, they don't need to return to the prequel era. That's what Luke was kind of teaching, you know, is saying that the way that they were running things then is what led to their downfall. So I'm wondering if we're going to see them aspiring to return to an even more peaceful time with the High Republic. And maybe this show is going to show us what that era looked like and what we can expect with future Star Wars.
Well, regarding visuals, hold on just a second. Regarding visuals, I just want to touch on what you said about how great it is to see so many lightsabers. I love seeing that combined with the tactile kind of real feeling that we saw in Andor and the sequel trilogy. So I think we're getting like the best of both worlds visually with what they're able. I think this is a lot of what George Lucas wanted to do, like what they're able to do in the volume is what he was doing when he was shooting on all green screens and blue screens. And now we're finally, the technology's finally caught up to his vision. Sorry, Adam, go ahead.
What I'm most excited about the Acolyte isn't necessarily like a visual or a narrative element that's going to be in the Rey films. I think it does represent what I love about this new era of Star Wars, which is exploration. Going beyond the familiar, going beyond what we know. I think, as much as I love the original trilogy, as much as I love even the prequel era, I really want to see more Star Wars stories outside this 70-year period. Because, again, there's so many worlds to explore, there's thousands of years to explore. And I think the Acolyte represents this new mindset of, like, let's push and see what we can explore. Let's get beyond nostalgia. Let's deepen our understanding of the story. Like, one thing that I've said to a lot of people about what I love about the High Republic is this idea of, like, the more content you get new context to the stories that you know. So seeing the Jedi at their height, for example, is really interesting. But it sort of makes you understand, like, oh, how far they actually fell by the prequel trilogy, and how desperate it feels when Luke comes back as the last Jedi. So I feel like it's not necessarily like what we're probably going to see in the Rey film. Again, I know as much as anyone else. But I think it does represent this desire to take risks and explore and push the boundaries of what Star Wars could be. It's what I loved about the EU and Legends, and sort of like seeing what works and what doesn't. I think it's just, for me, it's just... it's exciting because it's new. It's new. And that's the coolest part about it. So that's what I hope it represents for Star Wars. It's just new ideas that deepen our understanding of the galaxy, that deepen our understanding of the Jedi, that just make us want to keep on exploring.
Colton, what about you? Like, you know, you've done some videos we've done here on the channel where we talk about, like, the Rey trilogy and how she can be Grogu and we can do all this stuff. I look at, like, the idea of Rey building a new Jedi Order, and I've always thought, well, that's kind of what I thought Episode 7 would be with Luke. So right. Do you kind of see this, the Acolyte and the Rey movie, as maybe Star Wars giving us the stories we thought we were already going to get with the prequels and with the sequel trilogy?
Yes, and, you know, I'm not a sequel trilogy hater, but, yeah, it did feel like they kind of... rehashed a little bit the original trilogy, you know, with the First Order being the Empire and all that, when I would have liked to have seen them moving forward, rebuilding the Jedi Order and stuff, like you said, with Luke. So, yes, I think that the Rey trilogy, or, you know, whether it ends up being Episode 10, 11, and 12, I think that that movie could be like this fresh new start for Star Wars, incorporating all of the different themes and stories that we've seen with, you know, with the prequels, with the original trilogy. And I really do think that what we're seeing with Acolyte and the High Republic in live action, I think that could be a sneak peek, like a preview of what we're going to see those movies and that era of Star Wars aspire to be, aspire to rebuild. Like I said a second ago, you don't want to go back to how things were in the prequels in terms of like in canon, in the story. It was a corrupt time. It was wartime. It led to their downfall. So yeah, I do think that with the Rey movie, we are going to get to see, hopefully, like Adam was saying, a new and bright future. The thing that even with the Acolyte that is holding me back a little bit is we know where it goes. We know what ends up happening. We know the Sith return. We know the Republic falls. So as excited as I am for the Acolyte and how I feel about the new and all the possibilities coming, it makes me even more excited for what Star Wars and Lucasfilm can do in the future with brand new stories and an unwritten future. So,
Like, Better Call Saul is a prequel. We know how it turns out, but we don't know how it turns out for those characters, you know, like for how that, they got there. So I think that's what is promising to me about the Acolyte. Going back to
I was going to say the same thing, Ryan, because like that's been my favorite thing about the High Republic. As again, I'm a huge EU fan. I grew up on Legends. Like, you can see some books behind me. It's like literally a fraction of my collection of EU books and canon novels. What was so exciting about those books when I was growing up was this idea that like kind of anything can happen. But what always kind of held me back and like which always kind of frustrated me reading those was that, because Luke, Han, and Leia were like the core, you knew that they were always safe. Mm-hmm. So as weird and as wonderful as the EU got, you kind of lost sometimes like, well, I know they're going to be safe. I know they're going to be okay. What's great about the High Republic is that because it's set, you know, basically 300 to 100 years, or even I think a little bit further, like 500 years before the prequel trilogy, yeah, we know the Sith are going to come back, but we don't know if how these heroes are going to survive or if they're going to survive. There's a sense of danger in everything. Mm-hmm. If you read like Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule, like there are characters that are introduced and killed within the first three chapters. You fall in love with them and then they're dead.
There's a YA novel at the start of phase two that I won't spoil, but has a pretty shocking character death as well. Phase one ends with a major character. We're not used to seeing this in Star Wars, like you said.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, yeah, it's a prequel, but we don't know what's going to happen to these characters. And yeah, like in broad strokes, we know where it's going. I don't know how the Sith operate in this era. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how they stay hidden and how they are allowed to, like, the rule two to keep on going. There's a sense of danger in everything. To hammer home Ryan's point, it's very much like Better Call Saul. Yeah, we know where he ends, but we don't know where everything else goes. And I think that's like that's the thing about the Acolyte. All we know, honestly, Yoda survives.
True.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's all we know. We know
Yoda survived. Yoda, Yaddle, and Dexter Jetster, as spelled out in the wonderful Star Wars canon short story, The Veteran, which you can find now, written by Adam Lance Garcia.
Adam, I think you make a good point. You know, we're talking a lot about the Jedi Order and stuff. But in the prequels, we're kind of seeing the tail end of the Sith rising to power and taking over. So I think you make a good point that in this century leading up to The Phantom Menace, we're going to get to see a lot of explanation and story for exactly how the Sith got to where they are. Because there's tons of lore there that, you know, I guess has been told in, you know, the expanded universe and Legends and stuff. But I am excited to see how that story finally told in canon through the Acolyte.
And speaking of Legends and EU, like one of the things that really makes me excited about this series is how big a fan Leslie Headland is of Star Wars. Like, showrunner
Leslie Headland, who also did Russian Doll.
Showrunner Leslie Headland. I both as someone who's had the privilege of working in Star Wars, but also as someone whose day job is interviewing celebrities, but also as a fan, I really want to sit down and talk with Leslie Headland and just talk about the EU and Legends, because I admire her so much for being this like fan like me who read these books and was so inspired and loving to explore this universe. And now she has this chance to sort of like insert that canon into the canon. I want to know what stories inspired her. Like, did she read like Darth Plagueis, and how is that informing how she's in, talking with the High Republic in this era? Did she read like the Old Republic books and Darth Revan? How is that being put in? Or is it like some crazy thing like the glove of Darth Vader that introduces like the most absurd things in the world?
That was a crazy book.
And putting that into like, it's a crazy book. It's like, if you ever read the Jedi Prince trilogy, it's one of those, actually it's a 6 books. It's a really interesting, it is, I kid you not, about Luke training a young Jedi who turns out to be Palpatine's grandchild. It's really interesting, and it's just one of those, like, you never expected that to be relevant again. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting that she is someone who is a real true fan and is coming into this with such passion and such excitement that she can look at the EU and like, all right, this is what I want to bring in. She can look at canon, like, this is what I want to bring in. And again, like, I just want to talk to her about Star Wars books. Like, I don't, like, I'm so enthusiastic about this idea that I can just talk to a producer of a Star Wars show and like just nerd out about the Heir to the Empire trilogy or mm-hmm. like the Jedi Academy trilogy, or let's just talk about the New Jedi Order and the Yuuzhan Vong. Like, I just, that is so cool. Like, are there going to be Yuuzhan Vong in the Acolyte? That'd be awesome. I don't know if it would work, but it'd be cool. Like, Zenoba Sakaat, like, if that shows up, like, sorry.
Adam, you're going down a deep rabbit hole. I'm going to have to cut you off.
I'm going down a deep rabbit hole because there's so much you can do in this era. Like, that's what's so exciting about the Acolyte. Like, we don't know. We just don't know.
So let's pivot over. In just a little bit, I'm going to talk to you guys about why I think this show is, like, make or break for Star Wars. Like, if it succeeds, it's going to push us into a whole new era. If it fails, we're going to be doomed to nostalgia baiting for the rest of the franchise's existence. But first, I want to do some speculating with you guys about this. Like, one interesting thought shot in the trailer, Colton, you alluded to it, was when we see a dark figure on Acto, which we presume, you know, from the trailer in context, that it's the Sith. Like, the Jedi didn't know where this temple was. It was lost. And now we see this dark cloaked figure at the same obsidian cave entrance, it looks like, that Rey went into. So let's wildly speculate on this for a second. What do we think is going on here? Were the Sith hiding out on Acto this whole time?
Well, as you mentioned in our Easter egg breakdown, not only did Acto have a Jedi temple, but there was also the dark side cave that we saw Rey venture into. So, yes, I'm leaning toward that the Sith definitely inhabited Acto at some time. And I don't know if you want me to get into this just yet, but I have a theory. It's kind of out there of who that person standing on that cliff might be.
One second, sorry. You know what? You're working on a script for that video we're going to put out next week, so let's just save that as a tease. You can give us a small hint right now who you think it could be.
It's a Dark Lord of the Sith that is of one species in Legends, but his species has never been confirmed again.
All right. Adam, what about you? Do you think that the Sith were hiding out on Acto the whole time, and what would that mean narratively for this story?
I don't know if it's Acto necessarily, but I do like the idea that it could be. I like the idea, and I'm seeing this more and more, this yes-anding of established canon. Colton, you kind of touched upon it before. This idea that it could, like, you know, like, even if, like, there are story elements that we don't necessarily love, whether that be, for example, like, on Doctor Who, you know, this, the idea, like, of the timeless child, that like Russell T. Davies is yes-anding that in his current run. I like seeing, or even the Kelvin universe in Star Trek, when the destruction of Romulus becomes a big part of the Picard seasons. I think it's important that franchises yes-and things. So, like, could it be Acto? Possibly. And if it isn't, that's fine. But I like the idea that it's like, they're like, yeah, that exists. We're going to keep on, we're going to hammer down on it and explore that. Because, you know, it just deepens things. Like, I remember, like, I think it's a good example of, like, what makes The Clone Wars my favorite animated series in the entire Star Wars franchise is the fact that it, yes, and the prequels. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's hard to remember, but when the prequels came out, they were lambasted. I was called a George Lucas apologist growing growing up because I liked the prequels. And the Clone Wars not only just introduced the franchise to a new audience, but it sort of deepened our understanding of the characters, it explored new things, and a yes and everything around it. So, is it Octo? I don't know, but I like the idea that it could be.
Well, I think that there's another piece of evidence in the trailer that it's Octo, apart from the fact that if you just look at it visually, it looks like Octo. I was looking yesterday, comparing shots from Last Jedi in this trailer. It looks like the same place. But another thing, there's a line in the trailer where a character says, this isn't about good and bad, it's about power. And I think that could be a direct reference to, you know, the origins of the Force, the Prime Jedi. Ryan, you talked about the yin and yang of that Prime Jedi symbol. You've got the dark and the light. So I think apart from the fact that it visually looks like Octo, there's a lot of thematic reasoning to believe that this is Octo as
well. And also the idea that the Sith were actually hiding out at the first Jedi temple, which in some ways would be their first temple, mm-hmm. since the Sith broke off from the Jedi. The fact they were hiding there for 1,000 years and the Jedi had no idea because the Jedi had lost sight of their own origins, to me is very poetic.
Yes.
And the idea of, like you said, yes. Adam, bringing it back, bringing it full circle is what Star Wars needs to do. It needs to honor what's come before while taking those tools and using them to tell a new story. So Adam, Colton, thank you guys for joining me. You can find their social links below. And now I'm going to tell you guys why this show is make or break for Star Wars. If this show succeeds, and it's going to embolden Lucasfilm to keep telling new stories. Like Adam said, the theme seems to now be exploration, going into new areas of the galaxy, new time periods. Star Wars will now be looking forward instead of looking backward. Now, we already talked about the upcoming Rey movie trilogy, but I'm also very excited for James Mangold's Dawn of the Jedi movie. I mean, think about it. The guy who gave us the gift of Logan wants to create a new corner of the Star Wars story where we can see the origins of the Jedi Order. Literally anything can happen. There are very few constraints on continuity, like the Sith won't exist yet, but there can be other evil Force users. We'll see the birth of the lightsaber, of hyperspace travel, a galaxy trapped in darkness years away from other planets until the Jedi bring everyone together. But if the Acolyte fails, if the trolls wreck it because there's no Chewbacca, then that could mean the end of Star Wars. The whole point of Star Wars is that it's adaptable to every generation. The original movies drew from Vietnam. The prequels were about the rise of special interests corrupting a good republic. Even the sequel trilogy is about how we are shaped by our mistakes and can learn from them. I mean, that's in Kylo Ren's entire arc in the films. So, what's our story for today? I mean, we live in really interesting, very divisive times. So what kind of stories could creators tell today that kids will be nostalgic for in the future? Shows like The Acolyte can give great artists like James Mangold a blank canvas to paint these new stories. And if we fans listen, if we show up for good Star Wars, then we will keep getting quality, engaging stories like Andor. And if we don't, we're gonna be stuck with Ahsoka. Or what's wrong with Ahsoka? Nothing's wrong with Ahsoka, but Ahsoka's like aggressively fine. It's a sequel to a low-rated animated show and excludes new fans from watching. It's just more of the same. It's the same characters over and over who frankly really should have died at the end of the Clone Wars. But you know, guys, the problem with IP is that, well,
no one's ever really gone.
Shows like The Acolyte can be the Star Wars Game of Thrones. They can rip our guts out, toy with our emotions, and reinvent this saga. But if we fans just dismiss anything new, then we're gonna keep getting shows where a Jedi stabs a fart in the volume. By the way, I stole that fart in the woods joke line from Pitch Meeting. Love that channel. So, what do you guys think? Are you excited about Acolyte? Do you think Star Wars is on the brink of greatness or failure? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below or at me on Twitter. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe and smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.